Let's see here if we
lost. Oh, my, I'm sorry, Kyle. My pleasure. Thank you.
There we go. All right. Seth, this afternoon, we caught him. This is sort of one of those Bluetooth type interviews this afternoon. A busy summertime in the district. Talk about some of the recent things you've done legislatively. I know things pulled back in the summer, but there's still things going on.
Oh, there's always things going on. I mean, yesterday, the Secretary of State's office, for example, had public comments on various initiative petitions that have been put forward by mainly folks in Portland, one of which was, of course, health care is a right, which sounds, great, except for as we're dealing with Measure 110 from the 2020 ballot cycle in basically decriminalizing drugs in the hopes that, there would be more treatment and so forth, and that hasn't materialized by the majority party in this state, and it's only just exacerbated the homeless issue around the state. Measure 112, if I remember right, is the measure that will now make healthcare a right. We've been able to defeat that piece of legislation when it's been in the building, but now it's going to be coming through a vote in November. Then there's Measure 114, which is formerly IP 17, that I testified against yesterday in the meeting with the Secretary of State, and that is that horrible gun legislation that will require everyone to get a permit, go through classes before they can even acquire a firearm. We don't have the facilities nor the individuals to do that in the state, and it will ultimately also make pump action shotguns that people buy and use for home defense illegal, because there will be no ability for any magazines or firearms that have over 10 rounds. It's a horrible piece of legislation. And then finally, another piece that was that I testified against was a measure, and I can't remember the number. I believe it's Measure 113, that will stop the ability of the minority party to utilize denial of quorum, and it would basically have the Speaker of the House, who ultimately decides on whether or not an absence from a floor session is excused or not, decide that if you have 10 unexcused absences, and it doesn't have to be consecutive, that you would then not be able to seek re-election to your office the following cycle. It gives an enormous amount of power into one individual, which again would be the Speaker or the Senate President of the legislature, and it completely handicaps the minority from being able to utilize, ultimately a denial of quorum to stop bad legislation, as we did with cap and trade.
So during this time of year, as you get a chance to talk with residents around the district during the summer, what issues are you hearing about? What is coming up most often?
Oh, my goodness, the cost of living. I mean, inflation, gas prices, just the ability for individuals to be able to provide for their families, the cost of the workforce housing are just a few of the things that are happening and the people are concerned about. They're concerned about, of course, the upcoming election and what's going to happen and how it's going to impact their families. They're concerned about, of course, on the coast, the offshore, the move by BOEM to put lease areas out for offshore wind. They're concerned about IP 17 and what that's going to do to their Second Amendment rights. They're concerned about, their ability to continue with their farming and ranching and the regulatory burdens that are occurring with DEQ and DLCD at the state. I mean, it's really one of my favorite parts of the year, Kyle, because I get to go out and talk to my constituents. But it's just been a a very bleak, bleak time in their lives right now because of a gallon of milk and the price of eggs have just gone up so much that it's difficult for people to make it.
And, when you look around some of the retail prices, there are a lot of items that I get frequently, but periodically I'm in different sections of stores where I normally am not. And was in a deli case the other day looking at, roast beef was nearly $15 a pound.
Exactly. And the price of beef is going up. Now, one of the positive things that has happened, as you've heard me talk about it before, is we were able to get that state meat inspection program bill passed. We were able to get grant monies to the smaller processors to help upgrade their facilities to USDA standards. And so now, and it just came out last week, and there was a joint press release with myself and Representative Owens and Assistant Director Henderson in regards to and Senators Merkley and Wyden on moving forward with that program. And the USDA finally passed the rules that Oregon has laid out for the program. And so now we can finally move forward on that, which then allows local ranchers the opportunity to have their cattle, sheep, pigs processed at our local smaller processors that would normally just do a cut and wrap for you, and then they'll be able to sell it commercially to not only our locals but our local restaurants and supply stores and so forth for to be consumed, sold, within the state, consumed by our local folks. It's a fantastic opportunity. So there are some positive things that are happening.
Let's talk about the fall campaign. You've got an opponent in November. What are your plans in that direction?
I have an opponent in November. He's the chair of the Democrats for Curry County. A nice man. We just have philosophical differences on a number of issues. I'll be running my campaign and going out and talking to individuals throughout the district and talking about my visions for how we need to move Oregon forward. And one only has to look at what has happened with this past decade of one party rule in Oregon and where we're at, right? And so I think that we have great opportunities, not just in District 1, but across the state to bring more conservative values and elect more Republicans to the legislature so that we can have more balance. Because, back in 2010 when that happened, one of the best sessions was 11 because you had co-speakers. And so everything that piece of legislation that moved forward was discussed and had true bipartisan support in doing so and moving forward. And so I think that's what people want. I think it's the pendulum is going to swing back as it should because the overreach from the majority party has occurred and it needs to stop.
As you look at the races around the state, any idea of how many seats the GOP might be able to pick up?
Well, I think that we're going to pick up a minimum of 5 in the House. I think that you're going to pick up, you have an opportunity to pick up 4 in the Senate. And if you pick up those 4 in the Senate, of course, continuing to defend the 12 that you have, then you have Senate President Knope, who is currently the Senate Republican leader, as the Senate president. And then that is a game changer in the way that Oregon legislative system will work moving forward. And so it's more difficult to pick up the 8 that we need in the House just because of the gerrymandering that occurred in the legislative districts by the majority party during the redistricting process. But I'm really pushing for getting to 30 and 31, of course, we all are. I mean, all oars are running in that direction because that's when you really make a difference in the direction of the state. But you also make it with the opportunity to elect the first governor and Republican governor in nearly 40 years as well.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Shannon Sebastian has your cue this afternoon. On tomorrow's program, we're going to check on the fire incidents around the region. We'll be getting updates live from staff with the Wendigo Fire and also in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest as well. And on Monday's program, as we do lots of different types of interviews around here, just confirming that Jay Leno will be on Inside Douglas County on Monday. That next Saturday, he will be at Seven Feathers. So Jay Leno, Monday on Inside Douglas County. State Representative David Brock-Smith on with us now. We were talking about the legislative races and the potential for the GOP to pick up some seats. Now, because of the change in boundaries, let's talk briefly about how your district changes at the beginning of January.
So, yes, my district, I lose Charleston, and I gain all of Winston, Green, and parts of Roseburg all the way into the Douglas County.
And how does that kind of change things for you?
Well, it just means that I'm over in my to visit my good friends in Roseburg and Winston more often. And of course, I love Quam Valley and try to get over there as often as I can. I live in Port Orford, which is kind of centralized somewhat in the district. And district goes all the way down to Brookings, of course, and it's going to go up to Seven Devils Road and then encompass up on the right side, the east side of Coos Bay and all of Curry County. And I lose, I used to have half of the landmass of Josephine County, and now I lose the boundary follows the Curry Josephine County border, and I look forward to talking with more people in my new part of the district over in the Umpqua Valley, and look forward to representing them as well as I have the constituents that I currently am.
You mentioned before the break the governor's race. We've got six candidates, counting the minor parties, and even with only the main three, just how tight do you see this race being?
It's going to be really tight. I mean, you're going to have a number of folks voting for Speaker Kotek that wants just partisan politics and the more of the same coming out of the urban areas of Portland and Eugene. But the game changer really is former longtime Democrat Senator Betsy Johnson, who is running as an unaffiliated candidate, collecting signatures to be on the November ballot to do so. And we have to all remember that Senator Johnson, who I work with as a member of the Coastal Caucus, as well as, of course, our Senator Dallas Hurd, worked with as a member of the Coastal Caucus, was the deciding vote that created the corporate activities tax in this state, the CAD tax. That's basically a pyramid scheme of a tax that layers an additional tax on the sales of goods or businesses that have sales of goods of over $1 million in any given year. And as well as other legislation that she assisted the majority party in passing, because frankly she wanted to keep her position as the co-chair of Ways and Means, and and other positions and gavels that she's had over her tenure in the legislature.
So who,
with that, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious your thoughts as to, regardless of who ends up ultimately winning, what do you feel like their top focus should be when they take office?
I think their top focus should be, with Christine, because I'm a big Christine Drazen supporter, and we have a real chance of having a new direction for Oregon with her candidacy. The top focus needs to be dealing with the horrible homeless crisis that we have in this state, enforcing and reinforcing our ability to have our public safety personnel and resources to provide that public safety for our citizens. But more importantly, or equally, Kyle, there's over 250 appointments to boards and commissions, not to mention the directors of the agencies that the governor appoints or make recommendations to appoint. And with nearly 40 years of having Democrats at the helm, you have systematic partisan appointees throughout those various commissions and agency heads and so forth and boards that then will now be replaced with more with individuals that really want to work for the people and have agencies try to help our individuals within the state rather than be burdensome. You know, it's always been something that I want to get to yes whenever I'm trying to help with anybody in my district. And I know Christine feels the same way in getting appointees to those boards and commissions and those directors that want to have positive change in moving forward our communities and their economies.
If you're reelected, what are the top issues you're going to focus on in the next session of the legislature?
I'm going to be focused on natural resources. I'm going to be focused on making sure that our hatchery systems are robust and moving forward. The ability for our constituents to be able to utilize their land and push back on the burdensome regulations from DEQ, water resources, and other natural resource issues. I'm going to be pushing on the legislature to move forward with legislation and discussions to the extent that we can as a state to deal with the crisis in our federal forests that have been kept unmanaged for years that are only exacerbating catastrophic wildfires. So I have a Simonic credits bill that we're going to be moving forward that will actually help create habitat and off-channel habitat for salmon and monetize that for farmers and ranchers. And there's a lot of exciting things that could happen and will happen. And I look forward to working with Virgil Osborne from HD2 and Representative Goodwin and, of course, Senator Hurd to make positive changes for the people of Douglas County and Curry County and Pease County and Southwest Oregon.
All right, State Representative David Brock Smith, out of time. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.